Hello and welcome to the Empowered Body Podcast with your host Greg Fearon. And today, for I think the fourth time, is it? We have
Oh, something like that.
the awesome Stephen Aish. Stephen, welcome to the show.
Thank you. How are you keeping, Greg? Good to see you.
I'm very good, buddy. I'm very good. How are you?
I am at a place called Very Good, knowing that great is only a few months away.
I like it. I like it because you've been through a bit of a journey.
I've been through a bit of a journey. I think an important part there is to kind of put it in perspective, because you only truly understand something afterwards. And what I mean by that is, when you're in it, often the emotion is so raw, so overpowering. You're in this proverbial, or let's call it a shit storm. Let's not mince words. You are in such a mess that it doesn't make sense. You want out, you're angry, you're asking why, you can't cope. And afterwards, when it's kind of settled a bit, it all makes sense. And to be honest, I actually cut myself some slack, because I realized I had 15 months out. What do you think, though? Obviously, your background, sprinting, martial arts, coaching. What do you think happens if Greg does nothing for 15 months?
Well, I did nothing for 6 months with my Achilles tendon, and
Yeah.
getting back was hard work.
You go back, dare I say, to being a member of the public. You lose it. Oh, I lost my fitness, I lost my strength. While the muscle memory and the knowledge of the engine was still there, I couldn't do it. I simply couldn't do it. And I had 15 months off. We're now October, so I've had 9 months of steady progress. And within the last 4 months, so June, July, August, September. So yeah, June, July, August, September, I've literally been 3 to 4 times a week training. And apart from a little hiccup yesterday with the Achilles, yeah, I know. And if I'm honest, this is my first time ever. It's like someone hit me with an air rifle. I was off. I mean, luckily, if we use this, it's not ankle, it's about 6 inches up. So it's almost kind of, dare I say, musculotendinous junction. So there's probably a little bit of muscle as well as tendon there. It's minor. I can walk on it. I was limping. And I get to plod on and reframe and do other stuff. But yeah, so we're 15 months off, and then realizing that I wasn't building something that kind of half worked. I was absolutely, actually where my clients were at the first step, thinking, wow, there's a big journey ahead of me. And it took me a long while to realize that and to accept it. And when I did, it all made sense, because you've got to go through a learning curve. And if I'm honest, that was the first port. So if we lay out a little map, if you will, I thought what would really kind of help the listener, I'm all about utility. I want to give people something, even if it's one thing or 10, they can take it, they can go, oh, and be better because of it. How can I use this, rather than listen, that's good. Oh yeah, that I remember that quote from so and so. Yeah, that's nice. Oh, he seems a cheery enough chap, that's good. And then nothing changes. I'm all about utility. So the two things that I wanted to cover was looking at freedom to fail as an adult, and also this quote, I won't give it legs, I'll leave it out there, nobody cares. I think we can go quite deep with that.
Whoa, we can
The
have
third
some
one,
fun.
as I mentioned with the third one, it hasn't arrived yet. And that's the great thing about being a behavioral explorer. I'm sure we'll uncover it on the way.
So, and it was actually, I remember the third thing now. I've got it. It was delayed gratification.
Which is basically the front of the back of the one that I mentioned first off. If you got your 50p coin, there's one side and here's the other, and they're actually the same thing. So giving yourself permission to fail as an adult, and then delaying gratification, is basically understanding the learning curve. I mean, do you want any more, or should we just spin the wheels and jump straight in?
Well, I'm gonna, yeah, I was just gonna say, one of the things I'm leaning into, and I know you are, and I think we've always had this message in our own various ways about all of these quick fixes in the world. Everyone's trying to do things super fast. And I've actually made all my programs longer. I'm literally every day I'm like, I think it needs longer. I think it needs longer.
Yeah, and I think that's wisdom kicking in, isn't it? Because if you look, I mean, we're a similar age. If you go back to, dare I say, the 80s, which, man, the music was a lot better then, let's be honest.
Oh.
You had 10p to call mum if you could find a phone box. You sent a letter. It took a week if it ever got there. You know, phone calls were important things. Where you know, wow, the phone's ringing. I must be important. You know, what gift have I got today? You know, now we ignore the thing because of junk and spam and all that business. So if you consider there that we knew stuff took time. We knew stuff took time. There wasn't this instant thing. And the irony is the world around us has sped up. We've got the broadband and microwave generation, as someone aptly put years ago. You know, we could be the other side of the planet and yet instantly connect. I could send an email. I can share my thoughts with you. I can send you a video. I can live stream. You know, I could literally upload the Encyclopedia Britannica. You don't even need me to do it. You can access it. Anything you're not sure of or want info on at some level, you know, don't even look at whether or not it's true. That's a different thing we could cover, which I think will be beneficial.
Yes.
Number three.
Yep.
Beware of illusions. Beware of illusions. And I posted about this yesterday because things started popping up and they popped up too frequently for it to be nothing. And I started to see patterns and I thought, wow, the game's changed. And we'll go into that. Steve, shelve it. Yes. Okay. Come back to it in 40 minutes. Gotcha. See, that's how you teach yourself to behave.
Love it.
Good lad.
Well done.
So yeah, we've got this instantaneous thing, you know, where because the tech is super fast, we think we should be the same. That's the real danger, you know. I can contact the world in a second. I can find out any, you know, who was that guy in the movie with so and so? Boom, life history, family, job, career, friends, awards, everything you've got. You know, you go back 20, 30 years, celebrity was in the newspaper. Now you can see where they live, what they drive, what they eat, their dog's name, where their cat sleeps, what part of the, you know, there's the, you see their life. We never had that as an, you know, the big names back in the day. You only ever heard about if there was an absolute balls up or they'd done something good, you know, that was it. And they were aloof, weren't they? There's always this sense of mysticism. You knew nothing about them because they were almost untouchable. But now we've got, as I said, we've got this instant. We don't have that with us, though. You know, fat loss, improving health, learning to drive a car, getting a degree, learning an instrument, meaningful relationships, anything takes time. And I think that's a great introduction to what you know, that learning curve and delay in gratification. And I think the heading for this is giving yourself permission to fail, giving yourself permission to suck as an adult. To be shit at something and not think I should know this. And two, while I was making the coffee earlier, I thought, oh, Greg, how can I? So two things, 10-pin bowling and archery. Now, most people can throw a ball and hit the pins. And most people can, you know, draw the string and, oh, I hit it. But if you look at probability over time, could people get a strike? Absolutely. Could they get two in a row? Probable. Think of it as a coin toss. See, it's all coming together now because I mentioned coin early, didn't I? the matrix.
I like the way you strung this together. This is
the matrix, man. We're in parallel worlds already. Slow down. Okay. So yeah. So you got the coin toss. You could in terms of probability, I think you could probably six or seven is about as much as you can likely get before it goes off into the trillionths to one chance. You know, most people, you might get two or three and that's it. You know, call it a fluke, whatever. It's simply random every time, but obviously randomness stacks up. So the reason I mentioned that is with learning anything, you've got to understand that as an adult, and the reason I mentioned those two is I've had people, and you've probably had this as well, I should know this. I should be good at this. Why is it so difficult? Now, here's the thing. Giving yourself permission to remember what it was like being a child, doing things that you weren't good at, that you pursued and eventually became good at. Two things there, three things actually. Failure, the learning curve, and delaying gratification, because gratification isn't here. There's a sense of gratification and feel good when you stabilize your bike for longer than 1 second, wobble and then stack it. But the thing there is, you know, three perfect examples: walking, tying your laces, riding your bike. Some people might get it in 5 minutes. Some people might take 5 weeks, you know, but I'm not sure with my three how many times it takes. You could look it up, but I would imagine that the toddler attempts to stand probably nothing less than 100 times or more. You know, you see them using the sofa and collapse, collapse, you know, a little bit of surprise themselves and collapse, take a step, collapse, you know, probably in the hundreds of times. Shoelaces probably less, bike less. But anyway, we've got a number, and it's a big number. It's not fluke. It's not three attempts. It's probably weeks of work. So if you can understand that principle as an adult, allow yourself to return to that time as a child where you didn't beat yourself up. And here's where this gets dangerous, Greg. Most people, so here's that little arena. For those of you on the audio, it is a place. So you've opened the door, but you actually don't want to go in there. You don't want to go into a place where you're going to suck and therefore fail. So you avoid it. And this is why so many people don't start their health journey. You know, as I said, you know, I tell it how it is. I'm a compassionate coach. I just, you know, I want everyone healthy, happy, and successful. Simple as that. I'm not cared if you win on things and I don't. There is no competition. We're not here to compete for what exists. We're here to create what doesn't. And with that, hopefully elevate the species by sharing our gifts. Now, for me to want people to be healthy, happy, and successful, you've got to understand that the worst thing you can do is avoid walking into that room because you've already written yourself off in your head. I'm going to suck at this. It's going to be tough. I don't have time. I don't like failing. What if, whatever? What if you simply walked in and realized if I was 5 years old and this was a Lego set, I'd get the instructions. I'd start, and if I made mistakes, I'd unpick it and I'd do it again. And if it really went messy, I'd ask an adult or a parent or an older brother or sister for help. When you can adopt that psychological approach with the big, meaningful stuff, and let me just loop back to the 10 pin and the archery. You know, you might start off, 10 shots, you might get a bullseye. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next 8 may miss the... you know? So that's what I mean by the learning curve. Yes, there's flukes because of randomness. But the thing is, it would take you months of practice to get to a level where you could say, hey, do you know what? I'm no longer an absolute beginner of this. I'm pretty good. And obviously, there's levels there. You know, we're not talking you're going to the Olympic Games. We're not talking you can't even, you know, hit the thing if you tried. On a scale of 1 to 10, I'd say a reasonable level of competency, if you do compare it to the elite in the field, would be, can you sit between 3 and 5? You know, you're not regional, you're not pro, you're not national, but you're absolutely not a beginner. You know, think of that as the difference between being able to ride a bike and then, you know, off-roaders that do stuff that would scare the average human to pieces. So back in the room, looking at the room, to wander in there with a sense of childhood wonder by knowing two things. The first part is going to be messy, but the end part is where success lies. Now, you can't bypass the messy bit, and that's what people often tend to do. As in, and I've heard it, and you've probably heard it, why can't I do this? I should have this by now. You know, I'm an adult. I should know this, and that's the biggest issue.
Here's a big one, buddy. Here's a big one.
Yeah.
I know what to do, but I'm just not doing it.
Yeah.
Which often tells me that conceptually you have an idea about what to do, but there are things that you don't have in place that allow you to do the things you want to do.
I would actually say that knowing what to do and not doing it largely confirms that you actually don't know what to do.
No, you see, you said it much better than I did, but you said it perfect.
That's calling people out. And as I said, you know, If you're the person that passes the note in assembly and gets called out, you're like, and you hate the fact that you're called out and all eyes are on you. Actually relish that as an adult, where you get the opportunity to put your hand up and say, you know what? You got me. I was lying to myself. You called me out. And because, you know, I can use this discomfort as a sword and a shield, and I can get angry and attack Greg. You know, how dare you, my fragile ego. Or I can say, well, you know what? I don't feel great. Let me breathe. Yeah, so we're tying all three in together now. Let me breathe. Let me shift over into that relaxed nervous system. and take assessment of what happened when I'm not emotionally driven to defend discomfort or react to discomfort. Yeah. So let me shelve that. Right. Okay. So I was wrong. You called me out. What happens next? Well, I got two options. I can run and hide, or I can thank you for elevating me at some level and then walk that journey. Because often the biggest thing is realizing that if you don't know it, the best way to move forwards is to find the people that do.
Perfect. Mic drop right there.
You was going to say, sorry. My mouth tries to catch up with my brain.
Yeah, no. That was so interesting, because what I see in the world, and most of my clients are business owners or people who are, you know, management director level type people, and they'll hire a business coach and invest a ton of money. When it comes to health, they'll skimp on it. And I'm like, you can't have a business plan without the health plan to go with it.
Of course, yeah. I mean, you're no good to anyone half dead. And I don't think people realize the severity of that until that proverbial knock at the door happens and issues do arrive. And I think the big one there is to realize that the gift you give yourself, let's draw right to the core now. You know, if this upsets or wobbles anyone, you know, you're welcome, because hopefully it's the catalyst that shakes you out of the illusion that you can't do anything about this. You are leasing this vehicle for your time here. It's your responsibility. It's also a reflection of the degree to which you love yourself and trust yourself as a sentient being to meet your needs. Now, sorry for calling you out, but outside of medical issues that you cannot do a single thing about, and let's be honest, those are absolutely percentiles of the percentile. If you are a train wreck health-wise, that's on you. And it's also on you to change it, because here's the thing. What you're teaching your kids as a role model, let's go a little bit deeper here. The fact that you potentially hate how you look and therefore hate yourself to a degree and potentially hate life, and that extends out into, you know, being the victim. The only way to change that, and here's the thing, you know, you are living in a garden full of weeds that you insist on continually watering by complaining that it's other people and it's special offers and the diet didn't work and it's the McDonald's, and I do believe I've got someone arriving at the front door.
There's always someone arriving at the front door. There's
always at the front door. So if I do a little hand wave, then we'll jump back in, because So yeah, if I now do the hand wave, bump, 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 you know, to edit those two bits. I thought, let me answer it, because it'll probably be the poor sod that ends up seeing you through the window and then banging on the door nonstop until you answer the damn thing. So, right. So ready? So let me go back in. Yeah. As I was saying, you know, that spills over into every relationship you have. And, you know, I call people out and I do make them uncomfortable, but it's done with love, because I'm the person you need in your world that's absolutely bloody honest. I want people to wonder. I want people to have the courage to drag themselves out of their spectator seat in the back row, hiding in the dark, hoping no one fixes the light above it, so you can finally get up and realize your own potential. That's my why, to show people their true potential. No matter where you start, you can change the ending of your story. Unless you have a headstone above you, you can change the ending of your story. Now, let's be honest. If your health is a complete mess, there's going to be so much struggle and suffering in your world. There really is. You know, at a physical, a mental, and emotional level, I'm all about how can we remove as much of this as possible? And as you know, so much of it comes back to healing the fact that you cannot trust yourself at some level. You can't rely on yourself, because you're not looking after yourself. And, you know, anyone that can trust themselves can also rely on themselves. And if you can't, that's probably the spanner in the works. Anything to add on that?
I was just going to say, it's so interesting, because I know your slogan is train and brain, and mine is...
Train and brain, yeah. Physical fitness, mental well-being.
Yeah, for me, I'm the same. I always say you can't separate the brain from the body. And it's always so interesting when I see people struggling with motivation to do things in other parts of their life. And I'll ask, well, how are you sleeping? How are you looking after your body?
And
And
they've
there's
got, well,
no.
I'm getting 5 hours. I try and catch up at the weekend. Wow, you know, you're running on fumes. I mean, a friend of mine the other day actually asked me to write a blog, and I was talking about fix your sleep in 7 days. And he said, that doesn't really give me any. I said, okay, is your sleep killing you? He went, got it. Because so many people are stealing, and particularly in the entrepreneur cycle as well, so many people steal from sleep and do not realize the damage. I mean, that if I'm honest, that's probably a separate podcast in and of itself, looking at deep phases, REM, circadian rhythms, all that business. You know, that is so important. That's literally the foundation of everything, your physical recovery, your mental alertness, well-being, and even your relationships, whether or not you're running on fumes, you're snappy, you make mistakes. It's so important. But as I said, you know, that's a huge chunk. And I think to do that justice, that's probably, you know, you're looking at 15 to 20 minutes to be able to enable people to benefit enough from it that there's actions that they can take literally that same night and begin to feel a difference.
I think the real big thing here is what how our physical health is in one part will affect how our business performs, like you said, our relationships, how we show up. Like you can't be your best self and have all of these dreams without the health underneath to support it all.
No, completely. And if I'm honest, that's why Train and Brain appeared. It's you know, as I said, physical fitness, mental well-being. Because I'd done the train part for so long, and then went into the mindfulness part for so long, and then combined both of them, realizing that I can't actually separate these. They are interlinked at every level to a degree that, you know, the proverbial seesaw. If you focus, you know, on one, then the other one misses out, and you're trying to get this balance act of two things that aren't actually opposite and different. They're fronts and backs of us as an entire, you know, if you look at the entirety of self, we are, you know, to dig real deep, and not in a woo sense, but I fundamentally believe this. We are that primordial stuff, call it what you will, currently having an earth experience renting out this suit. We are the ghost in the machine, and you've got your neurons and your skin and your blood and your organs, and the only reason that we can think and speak and move and beat the heart is because there is something in there doing it. And when this adventure's finished, woof, who knows what's next? Doesn't really matter. And who knows what was before? It doesn't matter either, because you know this is real. You know, not even in a Cartesian, I think, therefore I am, but you know, a pinch and a, you know, this is real. I can't deny my own existence unless you read some crazy books or Bertrand Russell's reductionism and stuff like that, where tables don't exist because they're different under a microscope compared to our eye. And then you walk into it and realize he was probably high on his own supply at times or had a bit too much whiskey. But yeah, you know, I know for
I
a
want what he's
fact.
smoking.
Yeah, exactly. I know for a fact, you know, as a being, as life, as consciousness in its rawest sense, I know that I am here having this experience. I'm completely at peace with the fact that this will end at some point and go on to whatever's next in store. I have no idea what this is. And when you understand that you are simply renting this vehicle. Now, I mean, let's be honest. And I think this will be point 3.5. I think this will really help people put life into perspective. Yeah. But particularly with all the stuff that is going on right now, where the world seems to want to divide us at such a level where, you know, all you see if you scroll through TikTok or Twitter or other platforms is people calling other people out and hating them. I mean, let's be honest, yeah. So I'm a white guy and you're a black guy, so we're completely different, yeah. If you put us side by side, completely different, and yet, and at a global level, apart from elements of our DNA and our fingerprint and our eyeball, we are 99% similar. Now, to put people at peace with differences, I mean, even landmass and countries, we're all one big family, but at a deeper level than that, we are all the same stuff having a different expression. The reason that you're Greg and I'm Steve is so that we can be called out in a crowd and not confused. That's why we have this label. And I think a great way of explaining this, and I know you appreciate the movie, the end of Enter the Dragon in the Hall of Mirrors.
Yes.
You ever done a screen share where it goes off into infinity and all those do, 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 you see millions of, or in a lift or an elevator where you've got a mirror either side, and or a toilet bathroom, you know, you've got thousands of you appear disappearing into infinity. Yeah. I want you to imagine. So let's say you've got glass panels, you know, like your wooden fence, like 2x4, yeah, no, a bit thicker. You've got a fence panel, you know, 6x whatever it is. So you've got a panel of glass. Now, you may actually have to use this planet as a reference point. You're sitting in the middle of it, and at the edge of this planet, you put those glass pieces, yeah, like a little fence, boom, boom, boom. So instead of it being a perfect sphere, they're tiny little panels. Now, all of those reflect Greg. All of those are an illusion. They are a reflection of the true self. That's you, that's me. All of the other people out there that we think are different, you know, fat, thin, black, white, successful, unsuccessful, different religion, different upbringing, different levels of awareness, and that's largely based on where they are on their own journey of exploration and growth. They're all the same. They are different versions of me. They're different versions of you. Having an experience, renting an earth suit for 70 years, give or take, and then who knows what. And when you can see the world from that perspective, where everything else is the reflection of this underlying constant self, the ether, the whatever, Brahman, Atman, you know, God, universal energy, the primordial soup, was it Zeno called it? I can't remember, Greek philosopher.
The force.
You know, the stuff. But yeah, that's it. The force, yeah. When you understand it, you're basically that having a human experience. All of the differences, you know, color, sex, religion, they all disappear because you can actually see for the first time in probably most people's lives that you are angry at yourself.
Yes.
You are judging yourself. They point out in you where the work is to be done. They point out in you your shortcomings. They point out in you where you can make considerable progress to increase your level of current peace with self, which then represents peace with the world. Because we're not a blemish on this planet. We are life on life. And I think that could confuse a few people. Some people might stand there and go, nonsense. And that's fine, you know, you are where you are. But I think that can really help a lot of people to cut through the fact that with the increase in social media and this, you know, rapid delivery of news every second, so much of it is built on division. And as Krishnamurti said many years ago, the reason we are in such a bad place is because we see difference and we see a them and us. And all of a sudden, you know, the quickest way to call a group to arms is to tell you that a different group wants to steal their land or their houses or is a threat.
Oh, yeah.
And all of a sudden, yeah, football teams, you've got a red shirt, I got a blue shirt. Well, these are my crew and they're the enemy. It's just a perfect example, isn't it?
But we all breathe the same air. We all eat the same food. We all need the same sunlight. We all need the same water.
Completely that. It's the them and us mentality where if we can look at what we've been fed and start to unpick it and not just look at where it goes logically in terms of apathy instead of empathy, you know, how many people were blown up today? You know, years ago, that would have been a shocker. Now it is so mainstream, we just carry on drinking our tea. You know, you've got nations at war, people blown to bits on a daily basis, and we're just like, wow, yeah, what should I do today? It doesn't have any impact because it's so frequent. And what I would say there, the real danger is understanding that, or rather not understanding that most of what is happening that is largely out of your control, when you can accept that, you then take you've got a deep sense of peace follows because you're not so important that you're on this stage with a spotlight. And it's like, you know, like the Truman, I think the illusion here is the Truman Show, that we are the one that everyone is watching. I mean, wouldn't that explain a lot in terms of being terrified of starting because of being judged? I don't want to go to the gym, people are watching me. I don't want to change. I don't want to start another diet because the people at work are going, oh, Sally, you know, how long is this one going to last? 2 or 3 weeks? Yeah, there's that Truman Show type existence where you erroneously believe that the whole world is watching you, where they're not. They're so consumed with their own existence and also worried that the whole world is watching and judging them, that all of these people are sat there in checkmate, terrified to move in case someone says something.
You know what is really funny? You just pointed that out as something I've been exploring with my coaches around money and my worth. I'm sitting there. I was hesitant to put. I'm gonna put the prices for my program up, and I'm like, oh my God, what are people gonna think of me as a person? And
You're
then,
not for sale, are
what's that?
you? You're not for sale. The biggest issue with pricing stuff, people say, here's the thing, when people say sell what you're worth, sell based on what you're worth, and that is the most damaging thing you can ever do. Because not only are you not for sale, but you got a program that's priced X and someone doesn't want it. All of a sudden, it's not them they don't want, it's you they don't want, and you've attached your self-esteem to an outcome. God forbid you then sabotage that and cut the price. Because what you're now saying is, I am willing to chop a chunk off of my self-esteem to try to feel better, to get you to buy stuff that has nothing to do with me, but I've internally said does. And it becomes a whole mess. It becomes an absolute mess. You are not for sale. Your product service is independent of you. And if people don't want it, they don't want it. And if they do, they do. And guess what? When you can disassociate from that, and it will take me 30 seconds, I've got a perfect story to explain that. It wasn't Carl Sagan, but he's great, so I'll get him out of my head. It was Wayne Dyer. He had three books in the New York Times top 50 or top 100, and his wife, who I believe was his secretary or whatever, she would give him an update of where he was. Oh, Wayne, you're number one, number seven, and number 23. Oh, that's great. And one morning she said, Wayne, you're not on the top 100 anymore. What? So nothing. You are not on the top 100. He's like, how is this possible? I was there yesterday. I was Wayne, you're not on the top 100. Your books are. You're not.
Brilliant.
So
Brilliant.
could you see that level of association? It's like it's independent. It's independent. You're largely not in control of whether or not people like you put it out there, and for some people it will change their life. And other people, they'll give it a one-star review simply because the stuff that they were carrying, they decided, wallop, you're going to get it. I don't know you. It doesn't matter. I need to lighten the load. Bang. And that's that proverbial, stuff you and carry on. And that's how people operate. Yeah. So.
Cool. Do you know what? There's something I just want to, because we had a bit of a listener question
Yeah.
about, and it was because you mentioned life force and I mentioned chi, because we're both martial artists at
Yeah,
heart.
you can see it as that. Absolutely. Yeah.
And
That I think of it as that which makes all of this do its thing.
and I was just gonna say, do you have do you do some breath work practice and qigong still?
Yeah, I do. I was very fortunate. I covered Qigong with my Kung Fu master. I did Xing Yi, which was 12 animals, five elements. I also done eight brocades, which was a Qigong. I went to see one of the top Qigong guys in London, and I kid you not, I'm talking probably 20 odd years ago. I found various people in and around, obviously, it's a big market, it's a big superstore. There's lots of people doing great stuff. There's many ways of breathing. Obviously, you've got Wim Hof with cold stuff and that. I met him. I've done a weekend workshop with him about 5 years ago. What I would say is, not to take away from people that do breath work as their thing, but breath work is a doorway, it's a gateway, if you think. And stay with me, I'm not about to wander off into the ether here. Unless you are a yogi or you've been deeply practicing awareness and all of that. The only thing that you can consciously take control of, which is largely an unconscious thing, is your breath. And the reason for that is when you sleep, thankfully, it manages itself. Otherwise, you'd die. But right now, guess what? I can breathe fast. I can breathe slow. I can hold my breath. So I can take control of something which is also subconscious. Now, the great thing there is that for a lot of people is actually a gateway in terms of meditation, awareness, inner peace, because being able to manipulate or take, that locus of control, being able to take control of something which is largely unconscious most of the time. And let's be honest, by unconscious, I don't mean, you know, you've got no idea that it's going on. By unconscious, I mean, you're only now thinking about your breath because I mentioned it. You don't ever need to think about your breath unless it's your birthday and you're either blowing out candles or blowing up balloons.
Or someone's strangling you.
Exactly, yeah. When do people think about their breath? They don't. When they're running, it goes a bit faster. When they're sleeping, it goes slower. When you're sitting there watching Netflix, it, you know, ticks over 12 or 15 breaths a minute. Obviously, depending on, you know, physical symptoms and ailments, but, you know, your ballpark's around 15 or 20. To then bring an acute focus to this breath, and all of a sudden, and I want you guys to actually do it now. Breathe in. Exhale. Breathe in. Exhale. Last one. Breathe in. Exhale. Now that was three breaths. That was three breaths of around 10 seconds. So you've got 5 seconds in, 5 seconds out. Six breaths a minute. For you to take ownership of your breath at that level, does a few things. The first one is it largely shuts off this from wandering into a past that terrifies you or a future that terrifies you. It grounds you in the present moment, particularly if you focus on the sensation of the air, the nostrils or the tip of the nose or even the coldness on here or maybe sensation in the throat or maybe the rise and fall of the chest, sternum, or whatever.
Expansion of ribs. Yep.
Mm-hmm. There's a tiny radar that gives some physical sensory feedback to what's going on, and the fact that that laser is on something means that it's probably not jumping around with other stuff that isn't here. And let's be honest, you know, that is largely how we suffer unless we're in physical pain. What isn't here now takes precedence over what is, so that you convince yourself you're in an alarm or panic state and have to deal with stuff. So you're fighting the illusion of a fantastic studio, which you've yet to learn not only how to manage, that you do have a key for it and a seat in the director's chair and can have some fun, you know. But anyway, look, going back to the breath, to simply sit and breathe deeply for a minute can change your state. Can slow you down, can bring you back into that relaxation. You don't need a 6-week course. You don't need hour-long videos to simply check in with yourself. And that's meditation. That is basically what meditation is, checking in with self. For you to go off from the hustle and bustle and the things and the stuff to And for those of you that struggle, you've got a great visual there, because if you notice that at an auditory level, you can map that to exactly the same sound as the ebb and flow of the ocean, the waves. And at a visual level, you could see the breath map. Wave come in, breathe in, waves recede, exhale. So at two levels, you can anchor your current state to a powerful visualization, which for a lot of people, it's kind of like the stabilizers on a bike. You know, you can breathe. Yeah, Steve and Greg said breathe, and I think I'm doing it right. And that email just won't go away. It's actually bigger than what I'm focused on. Yeah, and there's too much noise. So when we do give the studio something, that can work wonders for people that aren't maybe that visual, are easily distracted. I've tried many types of stuff. You know, they've done the yoga, the breathing, the meditation. It didn't work. It does work if you stick with it. And I think that's the important thing with delayed gratification. This stuff takes time. Everything takes time. And you also, you know, let me give you a great example here of why it's important to look at that journey rather than be frustrated that you can't do it quicker. Imagine you were airlifted to the top of Everest, hung out the chopper, and took a selfie and went down again. Well, imagine I took a photo and gave it to you. And I said, Greg, you could just Photoshop yourself in there. It means nothing compared to the entire experience, not just the climb itself, but actually the prep, the mental and physical prep, the learning. Imagine how meaningful it is to set a goal that actually requires a different version of you from the one here, because this one can't do it yet. Can't do it yet. You've got to evolve and upscale to be able to, you know, you can't do 150 deadlift if your PB is 100. Yeah. It's as simple as that. Your engine can't do it. And I really say can't and if, you know that. But your current capacity, no. 6 months of work, probably very realistic. Maybe 12, who knows? You know, it's the proverbial how long's the string. And here's the thing, I want to add this in just for clarity. If there's £1 million on the table, you probably do it a lot quicker. If there isn't, it might take 3 times as long. So, you know, motivation, particularly if you can internalize what you often seek and think is missing externally, you hit the ground running, because you realize that the simple ability to act is often the one thing that overrides everything you think is missing or that you need to get started.
It's funny that you mentioned motivation. Now, I've been meditating on this whole motivation thing. You know, people say, oh, I'm not motivated. And I'm going to say, that's a lie. I think what happens is we just get more motivated by other things because they might be easier, shorter, quicker.
Completely.
We don't lose the motivation. The motivation doesn't go. No. We still have those values or whatever. I think
I would also say that I see motivation as being very similar to confidence. You know, here's this great big gate that's closed, and you know that on the other side of that gate is the goal that you want, or at least the path to it. And so many people will wait at that gate until confidence or courage arrives or motivation arrives. And then it's like, yeah. Rather than just open a damn thing and start walking, I realize that it doesn't happen at the beginning. It happens as a process of the journey. You will never get good at speaking in public if you wait until you're feeling good about going forward and speaking in public. You know, how simple do you want this? You don't learn to drive in a parked car.
It's courage. Courage before confidence every time.
Completely. Take action, and the things you thought you were missing, you realize that you didn't need. They come along further down the road. I think we've covered giving yourself permission to fail as an adult, realizing that that is how you learn as a kid. I also want to cover this, dare I call it a mantra or a chant, ironically, that I saw this morning, and that kind of, you know, I've seen this frequently, you probably have as well. Nobody cares. And there will be different elements of this. Nobody cares, work harder. No, but nobody cares about your story and your struggle. Just show them the results. And Greg, if I'm honest, I completely see this as an ego-driven thing that is causing far too many problems, far more problems than growth. And I'll tell you why. I do understand it. You know, be quiet, hustle, and let your results speak. Yeah, okay, I can relate to that. It's, you know, it's a bit stoic, it's a bit Gary Vee, it's a bit, you know, out there in your face, kind of up at three.
It grind, sounds like, hustle,
and it's killing people.
It sounds like something my Kung Fu teacher would say to me.
Exactly that. That's, you know, nobody cares, work harder. So let's look at the logical conclusion of nobody cares. You know, I'm a big stickler for language and the consequences of that language and believing it, you know. So here's a statement which, let's be honest, give people benefit of the doubt. Someone shared it and they liked it and they shared it, and they've never really they actually didn't hold it long enough to consider its meaning or its consequences. So I think that's fair, because we see stuff and we, oh yeah, bomb, and we, but I actually want you to consider this as a museum piece. I want you to be so taken in by it that you give it 5 minutes of your time and look at what this means and where it can go. So nobody cares, work harder. If you take that to its logical conclusion and absolutely believe that nobody cares, two things happen. The world outside is more distant than it ever was. And internally, you are potentially scared and alone. That's the reality of this for a lot of people. Yeah, they've got the suit of armor. They beat their chest. Nobody cares, we'll work harder. These are the people that are terrified of connection, asking for help and being vulnerable. Now, if you're out on your bike in the forest and you have a serious accident, how does nobody care sit with you? If you're in a house fire and the smoke's choking you and you tumble down the stairs and knock yourself out and your family's still upstairs, how does nobody care sit with you? If you've had a serious accident and you are looking for assistance or want to rely on the goodness of people, where does nobody care sit with that? Because it's wonderful when people do care. And it's important to understand that most people do care. Most strangers seeing someone struggling will help. And if I'm honest, most of the people that would help are, think of like coach or a mentor or a teacher or an instructor. These are the people that you go to fast track removing your ignorance. No one does it alone. I don't care. You know, would you learn martial arts from a book? Would you wing it and try to learn to drive a car on your book in one hand, steering wheel?
All right, I'm gonna just fess up. I think I tried to learn my first bit of kung fu from Snake in the Eagle Shadow with Jackie Chan. Yeah,
wonderful movie
with the noises as well. Like,
yeah. Yeah, but I mean, you know that you go to the source, don't you? You go to someone that can deliver. And I see the real danger of people mindlessly or with intention sharing the nobody cares. It's very stoic. It's very, you know, I can do this on my own. I don't need anyone else. And if I'm honest, that leads to a deep lonely at two levels. It puts walls up that isolate you, but it also pushes everyone else that bit further away. I don't need you. I can't rely on you. I don't trust you. I wouldn't share anything with you. Why? Because if nobody cares, you will then live your life based on that mantra, nobody cares. You will struggle to form deep and meaningful relationships. You will never ask for help. You will suffer in silence. And I think we've covered it. You know, do we need any more than that? It's very dangerous. It is very... Yeah. Particularly with what we've lived through over the last few years. And as I mentioned, that division, separation and conflict, to add in nobody cares to that mix is literally just to drift off into oblivion. You know, there's poor little Steve or Greg on their driftwood in the ocean, help, help. But no, I don't want to trouble anyone. I can rely on, you know, you're freaking 2,000 miles from safety and land, but I can do it. I can rely. My coach said, I don't need anyone.
There's a boat going past, but I'm not going to put my hand up because nobody.
No, because I don't need them. I don't weakness to ask for help.
But you've just hit a nail on the head. I think this is a really big problem in the world at the minute.
Yeah,
I think social media has given people the impression that it's easy because you only see the highlight reel. You don't see that someone built that body over 5, 10 years with a million failures. They just turned up and were like ripped to shreds.
Yeah.
It's how I built my body 2 times a week with my special booty band program.
With my 6-week course and protein done.
Yeah. You know?
And I think that ties in perfectly with a third point. Remember I said, be aware of the illusion. And I've seen this far too many times for it to be chance, where people will actually post with a glaring error in it. And I put it up today. My post was 2 + 2 = 5 from All Worlds 1984. And I said, you know, there's a real struggle now getting to the bottom of most things, because you could have someone that is loud and confident. And if you look at stuff like Jonestown and cults, that's all that's needed. Even if you're Greg, the research is unequivocal on this. Even if you are not telling the truth, the fact that you are in some way confident, I'm drawn towards that. I don't care what you're selling. I want it because you represent what I lack. And this is how cults work. And what I've seen so many times is a person makes a glaring error in a post. So you could post, you know, how to fix your sleep, how to change your diet, how to lose body fat, how to do, you know, relationship success in business. Tumbleweeds. No one gives a hoot. But get something wrong in a post and 3 million people turn up and correct you.
Oh,
people are now using that to their advantage, where they are openly getting stuff wrong, likes and attention. And attention is money, and the world goes round and they don't care. They get called out by 100,000 people saying, you idiot, can't you even? And you know what? They don't care because it works. They are playing the audience. They understand that if I give you the truth, no one listens. If I make a mistake, the lynch mob turns up to wallop me. And it is now a marketing tool. And that's scary because people are more driven towards being wrong for what that brings than actually being right. It's scary. I've only just seen it. I don't really think I've made my mind up on it either way yet. It's still, is there more to this? Am I giving it legs it doesn't yet deserve? But I see it as a real dark era for intelligence, for discourse, for truth and reason, where being wrong and knowing that you're wrong and then just thinking, well, look, this will get me 100 times more interaction and likes than if I was right. That's a real indictment on where we are with socials, isn't it?
Do you know what's scary? There's an ex-bodybuilder. I won't name names. And he literally... Oh, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And all
my
he knows,
God, who put 50p in him, man?
It's shit. And it's really funny, right? There was some we had some Discord a while back, and I talked
he
about...
He goes off every day.
Oh, yeah. And I talked about calories matter. Like, you can't just eat as much healthy food as you want.
Eat 2,000 calories of ice cream, then get back to me.
Yeah. But he's like, no. But then he agreed with me. And it's really funny because I messaged him and said, hey, Eddie, I get your point, but there's a lot of orthorexia going out there now. There's a lot of people who are trying to clean eat and killing themselves. Like, well, it needs to be a little bit more balanced. But because he's getting an army of people who are like, yes, Eddie, you're right, he doesn't care.
I've seen. Here's the thing, right? let me tell you exactly what that is. You've got a pit of hungry wolves, and you lean over the edge and throw them some stuff, and they'll then do something. And that's all social media is for a lot of people. It's quite worrying. I mean, hand on heart. I mean, I'm not against good content, but 90% of it's shite.
Listen, as far as I'm concerned, I will always remain a truth teller rather than a dopamine dealer.
Completely. You know what? I don't think my main thing is integrity. And I've said on many posts, I simply would never, ever sell out for any kind of sponsorship or supplement or pushing an agenda. It doesn't matter. I don't operate that way. I don't work that way. And it would be a different version of me that I completely disliked, and therefore I'm not willing to do that. And I've seen so many people sell out and take the bait and go there and start pushing the narrative and defending it. And here's the thing, and this really does annoy me. When people are openly wrong and have been corrected by several experts, and instead of saying, yeah, thank you, they'll double down and say, yeah, but you missed the nuance in the post and shit like that. It's like, you know, you've already dug yourself 6 foot. Stop digging. You'll never get back out of that hole. And they don't. They actually double down. And that's, I've got rid of quite, I rarely nuke anyone on social media, but they're a prime, you know, if you've got those flags, you're gone, because I just don't want you in my world. I don't need to be exposed to that stuff. And I think it's important for people to do the same thing. You know, don't be someone that wanders up to the busker and kicks them because you don't like the song they're playing. You know, that's you making it personal when it never was. That's you seeing the world as your stuff to fix and put right. It's not, you know, you can walk on, it wasn't about you. That hand grenade, you picked it up, it never had your name on it. But what I do want to get across is, you know, when you give people the benefit of the doubt, but I'm a one strike and out guy. When I see this nonsense, because I don't need to see it. I know it exists. I don't want to surround myself with it. I don't want reminders of it. I don't want to give them the benefit of the doubt. I don't want to sit there and think about, well, their childhood and, you know, did their dad leave at a certain age? It's like, life's too short. Compassion, but you know what? From a safe distance. I want you far enough away to not have an impact.
Yeah, and I think, you know, as in the industry that we are in, it's so hard for many people to tell the wood from the trees. And I saw some interesting research the other day where people were given wrong information and then corrected But because they believe the original piece of information, they wouldn't change their minds. And that's the scary part. People make, they anchor themselves and then
Yeah.
that's it. That's my tribe I'm in.
And here's the thing, we and this nicely ties in with what we just mentioned with the nobody cares. If nobody cares, why do we seek the comfort and opinion of groups?
Oh, why do I identify as tribes?
Exactly that. You do want people, you absolutely need people that care. You wind back 100,000 years, where quite a terrifying thought, but we lived with saber-toothed tigers. I'm not talking Jurassic. We were never with a T-Rex or a Megalodon, so we were quite fortunate there. But we did coexist at some point, as in whatever the version of humans we may have been. I believe it was, within the last 100 or 200,000 years, we coexisted with saber-tooths. Now, that's quite a scary thought. Do you think that you had the support and complete trust of that tribe? We did. We and here's the thing as well. This I've spent probably more time than I should have. I've spent a lot of time looking at the fact that with a life expectancy of around 30, which it was back then, and it was up until big changes in hygiene, sanitation, and medicine. You go back 200 years, life expectancy was mid-30s. Earlier than that, 30, 35, give or take. It's kind of gone up and down, but obviously whoosh, it's gone up to 80 odd. But wind the clock back far enough, like life expectancy was 30 years. Now, Greg, when you think about it, when you zoom out and look at that picture and realize you will not be there to see your children become adults, you tell me how much trust you have in that group for them to be bringing up your kids.
Yes.
That unit was family. Bang, we are there for each other, life and death. You can't even trust the guy next door now.
No. But here's the irony, right? People love programs like SAS, Who Dares Wins, which is all about
Your
camaraderie,
buddy,
having
I've got your
everyone's
back.
back.
Your buddy, if the shit hits the fan, these people are with me.
Well, it's ironic that you say that with obviously the way people put out content online now, right? You really start to step back and you see people being like, I don't care what anybody thinks. And then everyone in their tribe then goes, yeah, you're right. You're amazing, blah, blah, blah. Like going, do you not see the irony of that?
The people that say, I don't care what anyone thinks, and tell you so on a weekly basis, are the people that care the most.
Amen.
It's as simple as that. And I did want to touch on one other thing that you mentioned. It was to do with the coin. Was it? So we've looked at, let me just have a little brain fresh. We've looked at,
So we talked about the
permission to
failure.
fail as an adult,
Yeah.
and then the nobody cares, and then the last one being so the online world. That was it, that was it. With the online world, obviously it's big, it's here, it's scary, it's not going away. I think the real thing with the online world is to understand that it is more driven towards attention than truth. And when you know that, you can educate yourself and you can wander into it informed. And then even ask yourself a question, when you pick that phone up to open the app, are you looking for something, or is it this little twitch, little scratch, little habit where you're hoping to find something good? Because I've never driven to a destination hoping I find something good. I've always kind of, not saying that's a bad thing. You could go to a new place and completely enjoy it, but I'm talking about online. I'm using that as an analogy. To simply wander in and open it and hope that you find something good is probably not the best way to use it, because you end up scrolling, you particularly if you know that you react quite heavily to stuff. Because they've pulled you, they've played you, they've pulled you in, they've played your strings, and now you're angry at stuff and they'll show you more of it and bomb,
Yeah, I mean, that's why I stopped listening to Stephen Bartlett's podcast, because it used to just wind me up with
Yes, I've heard that went kind of good and then bomb,
it's that again, it's that game of attention, right? He's got all these people that are very good
Yep,
at
bit of controversy.
garnering attention, have big followings
That's what,
because they're all but they're just not telling the truth. It's dopamine dealers, you know. It's a classic. What was the and best
I've one? I've seen that with so many people, yeah.
The best one, you got to fast like a girl. So you have different ways of fasting depending on your menstrual cycle.
Mm.
But yet it's nothing to do with calories. But hang on a minute, you're like, you're not eating for half a day. Like, come on. You know,
you tell me how fasting has got nothing to do with calories.
Yeah.
And I've realized I'm lucky. I've got a very good group of people in my corner that, you know, if there's gray areas of my brain, I'll nudge them and they'll give me a heads up. And you hear a podcast or see a book or a little video and you think, wow. And all you realize is that that is a competent speaker that can emotionally connect with an audience and sell shit that you don't need. But because it's shiny, it's got your attention. And then you look beyond. There's an agenda. They want money. Money comes from eyeballs on there for an amount of time or repeated or getting, and here's the thing, getting so aggravated with it that you then share it, saying, how dare they? And then bang, you know, the web explodes. They don't care. They would rather put out wrong, dangerous, antagonistic stuff that if I want a reaction from you, I've got to prod you with a stick. And then you'll tell your friends that he done this, and it will, and all of a sudden, millions of eyeballs are in. And unfortunately, that's how a lot of people do their stuff and create their content. It's done simply for, I mean, look at all these whack jobs doing the street stuff where, you know, one YouTuber got, one TikToker, I believe, it was in a shopping mall. He's got his phone and he's holding it to some guy's face, you know, and he's, oh, YouTuber, tick. Guy pulled out, it shot him. He actually felt that threatened that the guy wouldn't leave him alone, that he shot him twice. You know, I've got no idea what happened after that, but I've seen people get knocked out. You know, they'll be walking next to you and they'll start mimicking you. And why has this become popular? You know, that Mizzy idiot wandering into people's homes trying to steal their cat and, you know, justifying it and then playing the race card when called out. And it's not, no, you're racist. You're a fucking idiot.
You're a dickhead.
That's the issue with this. You think that people are genuinely interested in this and it's a way to make a living. You know, make your parents proud and do something worthwhile rather than be a damn fool online and think that that's what the world wants. But I will say that the flip side of that is when millions of idiots that also have nothing better to do with their time watch it, it actually fuels the fire. So instead of blaming the wolf, you got to look at the sheep that's following them, you know, so it becomes a two-way street.
Well, it leans back to the celebrity, and the irony of this is that often the people that are the richest and most successful people are the people that dedicate themselves to pretty much one task and do it repeatedly.
Mm.
Look at athletes, look at singers, they get so good at it that you just go, wow.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to spend too much time in there, but I will say the internet and social media have given an incredible amount of people with zero talent far too much belief that they have something valuable to offer the world.
Nailed it. That's it. Drop the mic. Bang. All right, buddy. I think we put the world of everything to
We've done a little bit
for the world, but thank you again for coming on. I'd love to do another episode. Maybe we talk more about the sleep thing.
But yeah, definitely looking at the sleep. I think that's incredibly valuable because so many people think that they can steal from it. I mean, you've got your chunks of day. You'd like to cut your work day in half, but you probably can't. You'd like to miss out on this. Oh, that's a big chunk. Let me nick an hour or two from there. Bang. You know, the consequences of that, you're literally chopping years off your life expectancy. And, for sure. And until that's in your face and you go, wow. I mean, obviously, you know, that might be enough for people to go online and look at this. You know, unless you're in the 7 to 8 zone, you're potentially chopping a little bit of time off your time here. And that is, you know, no one wants more EastEnders or Facebook on their deathbed. They want more time. And if you were asked to put a price on another year of your life and you say, well, there's no figure, you know, another sunrise, more time with your kids or your grandchildren, doing the things you love doing, a mountain climb, sitting by the lakes or the ocean, you know, all the stuff that we live for, those experiences. When you've got no more of them and would give anything to have more of them, ask yourself, if I am chopping from something that I think is going to help, is actually destroying me. I mean, not to put the shits up, people, but Shift workers, the worst ones being flight attendants, not just because of day and night, but also time zones.
Their
life expectancy drops 7 to 9 years, Greg.
Wow.
Now, I know. That's a shocker. Night shift, security guards, a few years. We are not nocturnal. We are supposed to sleep when it's dark and wake when the sun rises. And that, you know, we go back to caveman people, person time. You know, that's how it works. You start to tweak that. And we go in thinking there's no consequences. When you are informed and you can make a decision, it might not be an easy one. You might have to change career. But trust me, when you're at the end of your game and say, I could have probably had 3 to 5 years, not just by looking after my health, but by changing my career, by losing weight, by getting fitter, healthier, managing stress, looking at my food intake, getting rid of all the junk, you know, 80% of what Tesco and Asda now sell us, unfortunately. By managing that, micromanaging it, and then looking at sleep. Number one, where do you sit with sleep? Well, I wake up all the time to go a wee. I go to bed after Netflix and I might get 4 hours. Until you fix that, nothing else is going to make sense because you're trying to drive a car with 3 wheels missing. Ain't going to go anywhere apart from downhill. And what happens there? Crash, bang, everyone's dead.
And then you call the AA, which is us.
Sorry to be that raw, but you know, Greg, I'm all about the let. I am so, it gets to a state. You've got to rein yourself in. If I had a frying pan, I could crack someone around the head and get them out of the illusion that poor little me can't do anything to change this. And then look at their sleep and go, it's a train wreck. How do I address it? How do I fix it? Right, well, I move that and I extend that. And that's not, is that more important than this? No, it's not. Get rid of it. Extend the sleep. You can do this on a spreadsheet. Look at where you can borrow back the time you've nicked from sleep. And then make it a priority and everything else will change.
Right, let's do another episode on that for sure.
We'll hit that. We'll do sleep, how to exercise safely at home, and how time travel is dangerous.
That sounds like an awesome one. This, I feel like some Doctor Strange type Marvel vibes there. Just tell the listeners where they can find you.
Oh, best place is hit me up on Wastebook. Facebook, I mean, on Facebook, you can plunk a link in or just, I think there's only one or two Stephen H. at the minute. Find me. Any questions, ask. And if I don't know the answer, I'll find out. But my big focus is on helping people to realize their own potential, to take what they currently have by accepting what they currently have to a better place by optimizing their physical fitness and their mental well-being.
Train the brain. You can't separate it from the body.
Mm-hmm.
Simple as that. Awesome, buddy. Thank you very much for being a guest. And if you're listening to this, this is definitely share worthy. Hit up Stephen, go check him out, and leave a review on Apple. And I'll see you on the next episode. Bye for now.